Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining. As I was introduced, my name is Marwan. I'm a senior program manager on the Microsoft Flow team, and today we'll talk about how you can move your SharePoint data around using three new offerings from Microsoft. That's Flow, Power Apps, and Azure Functions. So in today's session, we'll start off by setting context around how Power Apps and Flow sit in within the Office 365 and Dynamics 365 vision. We'll talk about what Power Apps is in detail. We'll look at a demo as well of how it works. We'll then give you an introduction to Azure Functions and how you can expose an Azure function as a connector that can then be used in Power Apps and Flow. We'll take a deep dive into Flow and Logic Apps and the difference between the two. And then finally, we'll talk about how you can plug into the ecosystem as developers, and then we'll round off things with a roadmap of both products. So Power Apps and Flow within O365 and D365. So as many of you are familiar with SharePoint Designer and Web Apps and InfoPath, we look at Power Apps and Flow really as the successors to InfoPath and SharePoint Designer workflows, respectively. So the idea is that if you were previously creating an InfoPath form that connected to a SharePoint list to pull in data, you'll now use a Power App to do that same thing. And similarly with Flow, the idea is that we're trying to replace these traditional SharePoint Designer workflows that we previously had. Now, that said, both InfoPath and Designer will continue to be around till 2026, but no new features are being built on top of them. All of SharePoint, all of Office is moving to the Power Apps and Flow stack, and it's something that we continue to invest in. In fact, SharePoint loves Power Apps and Flow, and this is actually the heart idea actually came from SharePoint marketing. It's not me, but so we've integrated both Power Apps and Flow directly into the modern list UI. So many of you have probably seen that. Flow is also now available in libraries. So SharePoint Document Libraries also features a Flow button. And this is an integration that we continue to invest in over the coming months. So currently, you can take a list item and you can invoke a Flow on it. You can take a library item, you can invoke a Flow on it. You can create a Power App for your entire list. Very soon, we'll be moving in the direction, and we talked about this at the SharePoint Virtual Summit, wherein for Flow, you'll actually have out-of-box templates that allow you to do things like send things for approval, get feedback. With Power Apps, we'll actually have forms so that you can directly input data into and even modify individual list items using a Power App. In terms of Dynamics 365, just like Power Apps and Flow can be used to extend your Office data and your SharePoint data, similarly, Power Apps and Flow are used for bringing in and interacting with your data that lives in Dynamics 365. So things like your sales entities, customer service, marketing, operations, et cetera, all of that can now be automated and inputted using Power Apps and Flow. So let me show you what Power Apps and Flow look like in SharePoint, and then we'll take a deep dive into each of those two products.
That's what's the projector.
Okay. Yeah, okay, that works. Yeah. Yeah, that works. Okay, so I'm in a SharePoint document library. I have a bunch of documents. What I can do is I can quickly set up a flow by going to the Flow menu here and click on Create a Flow. And if I don't have anything selected, it gives me two templates. I can save my email attachments directly into this particular folder, or I can also copy files between OneDrive and SharePoint. Now, if I select a file, I get a different set of flow templates. So here, let me click on Flow. And here, if you look on the right-hand side, I get a variety of options. So for this selected file, I can request a manager approval. I can get feedback from my team or from my manager. I can also do things like add Outlook tasks, post to Teams, create a task in Planner, do something in Yammer. Or if none of these fit my requirements, I can also complete a custom action for this selected file. So let's go ahead and set up a flow that requests manager approval for the selected file. So as soon as I click on that template, it opens up flow.microsoft.com. It asks for my credentials. So these are the credentials that will be used in the flow. I'll go ahead and click continue. Now, what this workflow does is when a request is received from SharePoint, it gets the item in SharePoint. And because we're using a template, it passes along the site that I was on, the list that I was on, and does a bunch of things like getting my profile, getting my manager's profile, and then starting an approval. So those of you that are familiar with Flow, and how many of you have used Flow before? Anybody? No? Okay. So, and we'll talk about in detail what each of these actions mean. But so Flow has this notion of triggers and actions. So this is actually a trigger. It's what kickstarts the workflow. You then have one or more actions. In this case, these are all actions that I'm executing. So in this case, I'm starting an approval action. I'm setting the title. It's going to be approval request, and it's going to be the name of the file. So the file name is passed in from SharePoint. I can also assign it to somebody. So in this case, I'm assigning it to my manager. And I'm also giving details like, please review this file and provide your approval. And I'm providing in some other metadata like a URL, a file name. And if somebody approves, then it informs the author of the approval, which in this case is me, that the file name has been approved. So let's go ahead and create this flow. Now, if I go back to my list and go to the flow menu, I see that there's a... Oops, created in the wrong environment. Let's give this a unique name. Skip today's date. And there we go. It shows up here. As soon as I run it, the workflow starts executing. And we'll see that in just a second. And here, you actually see a live debug view of how that workflow is executing. So you can see the inputs and outputs of each step, as well as how long each step took. So in this case, if I scroll down here, I notice that it has things like the name of the file, who created it, etc. So it has things like the name of the file here, manager comments, etc. So what this did is it sent off an approval to my manager, in this case, in this demo environment. It's somebody named Patricia Hendricks. And if I open up Patricia's inbox, I see that there's a new approval request from Chris McNulty, the demo user. And here, I can get a link to that document that's specified in that workflow. And I can also hit approve or reject. So clicking on approve or reject takes you to the approval center in flow.microsoft.com. So that's one of the new things that we just added. In addition to being able to create workflows, Flow also gives you this unified center to show you all your approval data. And this is approvals not just in SharePoint, but across all your services. If you have workflows for Dynamics CRM, if you have workflows for Twitter, for Power BI, et cetera, all of that will start to show up in the approval center. Here you can see both your receive requests as well as your sent requests. And eventually, it will also show you a history of all of the requests that you've processed. So in this case, I got this request. I can approve and leave a comment. So this looks awesome. I actually did look at the file, and it looked fantastic. You know what they say, like the new look is to be as sparse as possible. All right, so the request has been approved. And if I go back to my flow, I'll actually see this refresh. And I notice that the condition says it's true and also sent an email to the author, which in this case is Chris M, letting them know that this document has been approved. If I go to my mail, I'll actually see this. And I'll also get the comment that was passed along by my approver. So this looks awesome. OK, so we've talked about SharePoint document libraries. Let's switch over and talk about lists as well. Now, in this demo, let's assume that I work for a company called 4Canyon Energy. And we're into this whole like renewable energy and wind turbines and what have you. And our business is essentially, we're in the business of managing wind turbines. So I have this list here of turbines that we have in our company. And What I want to do is I want to create an app for my turbine inspector so they can go in, inspect these turbines, and comment on whether it needs service or not. So here I have fields like the title, latitude, longitude, when it was last serviced, what its max output capacity is in kilowatts, whether service is required or not, and also how long it would take to fix a particular turbine if service is required. So to create this app, all I have to do is click on Power Apps and click Create an App. So I'll give it a name. Let's call it Turbine Inspector 620D. Just so that's unique. So as soon as I click Create, what's happening in the background is Power Apps is creating a three-screen app that allows me to create new list items, to read existing list items, as well as to update and delete them. So I get a full CRUD app around my SharePoint list. So we'll come back to this in just a second once we've talked a little bit in detail about what Power Apps does exactly. So let's get a little bit of our bearings. So where are we in terms of how we think about Power Apps and Flow within this larger vision of business applications? So Microsoft Flow and Power Apps are both part of a platform called the Business Application Platform and Innovation, BAPI. And BAPI is built around three core ideas that we think every business needs to do. So first is you want to measure how your business is doing. You want to get a sense of what are the key performance indicators for your business and how they're performing. Once you have a measure of that, you want to have a way of acting on things. So for example, let's say you want somebody to go in and create an app for telling you if service is required. Or maybe you want to create an application so that people can submit vacation requests, etc. You want a way to act on things that need attention in your business. And once you have that going, you also want a way to automate things. So if something goes down, for instance, you want to instantly alert somebody that machine went down. Or if something else happens, like an alert is met in Power BI, let's say, you want to send an email out to the team saying, hey, this thing isn't performing as well as we expected. How can we get things back up? Now, each of these three acts, let's call them measure, act, and automate, correspond to three products: Power BI, Power Apps, and Microsoft Flow. And all of these products are geared towards business users or citizen developers. So Power BI helps you measure how your business is doing. Power Apps allows you, through apps, to act on various things. And Flow helps you automate. Now, each of these services also has a developer-facing or an IT professional-facing offering. In the case of Power BI, we've got a Pro BI tier. In the case of Power Apps, we've got various Azure app services like Azure Web Apps, Azure Functions, et cetera. And for Flow, we've got Logic Apps and BizTalk. Now, connecting all of this is our connector to SharePoint, as well as our connector to the Common Data Service. So the Common Data Service is what we use to connect to entities that you typically get from Dynamics 365. So things like your sales entities, your organizational entities, etc. We also have a variety of other connectors, and you can also connect to on-premise data using gateways. So by connectors, we actually have over 150 different connectors. So it's not just SharePoint and CRM. We're also connecting to services like Instagram and Twitter and Salesforce and Facebook and app figures and a variety of other services. And with gateways, you're restricted not just to your data in the cloud, but also on your data on-premise. So if you have something, for example, if you're using SharePoint Server 2016 or SharePoint Server 2012, 2008, you can use a data gateway to open up that data and build apps and flows around it. So Power Apps in detail. So the idea behind Power Apps is that it enables you to write applications without having to write any code. So without having too much technical skill, you can get an app together and enable your business users to get these apps and share them with others in the organization. Now, Power Apps is built around a designer of what you see is what you get designer. In this designer, you can drag and drop controls, but you can also take advantage of device capabilities like GPS, like camera, like digital ink, etc. You can also build your business logic using an Excel-like language. So, an MVP once told us that if PowerPoint and Excel were to have a baby, it would actually be called Power Apps. So we'll see if you think that's true in a few minutes. But using these capabilities, you can connect to a variety of data sources. And we'll see that in a second. But you can connect to your SharePoint list, you can connect to CRM, you can connect to Excel, etc., and build an application and push data and pull data as necessary. So in terms of publishing, the way this works is once your application is built, you publish it to the cloud and lives in Power Apps. And once that app is published, it instantly runs on iOS, Android, Windows Phone, Windows, and on the web. So the model is very similar to how, let's say, the Kindle works. You have the Kindle app on your phone, or you have the Kindle device, and you read books on it. And similarly with Power Apps, you have a single application on your device, and it downloads the applications that have been shared with you. And you run one application at a time. So let's go and see a detailed demo of Power Apps. Okay, so here's the application that I'd built earlier. I see now that it has three screens. It's created a browse screen, a detail screen, as well as an edit screen. So I'm going to go in and modify these a little bit. Let's zoom in. So the first thing I want to do is I want to change the layout. I'm going to zoom out a bit. Okay. I'm going to change the layout a little bit. We're going to go with the image title and subtitle. And it instantly modifies it. So for the title, I'll go ahead and use the title from my list. Now notice all of these columns map to what I was seeing in SharePoint. So title, latitude, longitude, etc. All of that is automatically connected as a result of the integration that we have in SharePoint. In this case, let me go ahead and click title. And for the subtitle, let me go ahead and use the maximum output capacity. Now, if I want, I can go in and modify this. So what I can do is I can just append capacity to it, like so. And just like that, let's add a little space as well. And just like that, all of my rows now in this particular list suddenly have capacity and then a kilowatts appended to the data that was coming in from SharePoint. Now, furthermore, what I can do is if I want to change this image, I'm going to use my cheat sheet here. I'm going to copy this URL. So what we're doing here is we're actually calling an API that Bing provides, and using columns in my list, latitude and longitude, we're actually going to drop a pin onto this map. And we're actually also going to set the color of that pin depending on whether service is required or not. We can adjust this a little bit. We can make it bigger. And boom, we have an app that now shows my location, the location of the turbine on this map here. Now I can do some further customizations as well. So I can take this text. Now each of these controls, and you'll see controls here, each of these controls has a series of properties that you can modify. So if I'm modifying, let's say, a text field, I get things like the text, I get the alignment, the border style. I also get something like the color. So I can go in and modify this. So it has a boring RGBA value. Let me change this. So if service required, now this is a column in SharePoint. If service required is equal to yes, I want to use the color red. Otherwise, I want to stick to black. And if I scroll down now, I'll notice that a couple of turbines have already been highlighted in red because the service required field is set to yes. So let me go ahead and modify another screen as well. So I'll go ahead and modify my edit screen. So just like in the previous screen, this has already been set for me. It has certain fields, and I can customize the visibility of these fields that directly map to my SharePoint list. So in this case, I'm going to move the title up, and I'll move the latitude and longitude up as well. And let's move the last service date. Awesome. Now, the other thing I can do is I can actually make this read-only because I know that the turbine name is not going to change. So make this a view text. And I'll do the same thing for the title as well. And the longitude and latitude. So change the ordering just a little bit. Let me go ahead and reset the order. Okay, there we go. So move title to the top, latitude, longitude. Let's also change the max output capacity to a read-only value. Move that up. Okay. If I want, I can also set defaults. So in this case, let's say for service required, I can actually set a default value so that it's always set to yes. Because whenever someone's coming into the screen, they typically want to say that a service is required for this particular turbine because something is wrong. So I can go and say more options, default. And we'll change it to yes. Okay, this looks good. Maybe I'll change this a little bit too, make it a multi-line text. And you can see, I now start to have an app that I can interact with. And if I want, I can do further customization, connect to other data sources, and change the color, etc. So let me go ahead and save this. And we'll also go ahead and publish this application. Okay, so it's been published. So we'll come back to how this actually takes your data and publishes it and moves it to SharePoint list when we see an end-to-end demo with Flow. So for now, let's move back to our PowerPoint deck. And I now want to introduce you to another technology named Azure Functions. And we'll see in a second how Azure Functions plays into this ecosystem of Power Apps and Flow. So the idea behind Azure Functions is that while Power Apps and Flow are great for your business users, and they allow you to create apps and automation respectively, you might want to use Azure Functions if you're somebody who's a developer in the organization and you're tasked with creating a service that your business users need. For example, let's say you're trying to do a calculation of some sort. The thing with Azure Functions, and how many of you have used Azure Functions? Anybody? Okay. The thing with Azure Functions is that it's truly serverless. So what that means is you don't have to worry about creating an Azure web app or creating a VM or anything of that sort. You really just have to go in and write your code, and we will take care of scaling it up or scaling it down for you. And all you're paying for is the CPU time. So every time your function is used, we'll take care of charging you just for the milliseconds for which that function is being used. And depending on the kind of load you get, we'll automatically either scale it up or scale it down. Now, we talked about development. We talked about, hey, if you're using C#, you can go in and write your Azure function. You can also use Node.js as well as F#. And if you want local development, you can use your favorite debugger, make sure it's working, and then upload it to the cloud. We've got bindings to various services. You look at this Azure service, Azure Event Bundle. Naturally, being an Azure service, we have out-of-the-box connectivity to all of these services. We're also starting to add connectivity and binding to other services like Dropbox, SendGrid, Twilio, et cetera. So let's take a look at how Azure Functions work, and then we'll see how it connects into our Power Apps and Flow. So what I have here I'm in the Azure portal. I've created a pretty simple Azure function that allows me to calculate whether it's cost effective to send out a technician to do repair of a particular machine. And it's just loading here, so we'll give it a second. There we go. So what I'm doing here is I have a single method which checks the cost effectiveness of repair. There's two inputs that it gets in. It's the amount of effort required to repair a particular turbine, as well as the capacity, the max output capacity of that turbine. So both of these are actually being put into my SharePoint list via my Power App. Now, based on the hours and the capacity, it calculates two things. A revenue opportunity as well as a cost to fix. Revenue opportunity is a formula where it's equal to capacity times the revenue per kilowatt times 24. The cost to fix is equal to hours times technician cost plus turbine cost. So these formulas were derived after years and years of research in the wind turbine industry. Based on these formulas, we calculate if the revenue opportunity is greater than the cost to fix. If it is, we return back a message saying that, yeah, it is cost effective. Here's the revenue opportunity, and here's the cost. If for some reason the costs outweigh the revenue opportunity, return back a message saying it doesn't make sense to send out a technician for repair. Now, the cool thing about Azure Functions is it actually allows you to try out your function right from within this designer. So if I click run here, given the effort of 6 hours and a capacity of 5,000, I get back a message that says, hey, here's the revenue opportunity, it's $14,400. Here's the cost to fix, it's $1,600. So what I want to now do is I want to take this Azure function and I want to expose it to my business users in Power Apps and Flow. So these are people that are not necessarily technical, that don't necessarily know how to call a particular endpoint. What you want to do is you want to make it as simple as possible to expose this function to them in those business user-facing products. So I'll open up and go to flow.microsoft.com. And we'll go over to the custom connectors page. Let me just change my environment here. So create a new custom connector. Now, creating these connectors, you have three ways to get started. So one, you can import a Swagger file. You can point to a Swagger endpoint, or you can update a Postman collection. So Swagger, if you're not familiar, is just a way to describe your API. So it's just a metadata approach to describing how your API works. So it describes the inputs and outputs of each of your operations. So as an example, I have here a very simple Swagger file. It just describes the title of my API, what it does. The API determines whether it's cost effective for Four Canyon Energy to send out a technician, as well as the host endpoint. So let me go ahead and upload that in Flow. Okay, so as soon as I import it, it brings in the description, it brings in the host endpoint, brings in the title as well. If I want, I can upload an icon also. So let me go ahead and click continue. Now, I can choose from a variety of authentication types, either basic auth with username and password, using an API key, or using OAuth 2. And we work with a variety of providers, Twitter, Facebook, Azure Active Directory, Gmail, Hotmail, etc., to provide you that OAuth 2 connectivity. Let me go ahead and click no auth here. Now, what I want to do here is I want to define the actions and triggers that will then be used by my end users in Power Apps and Flow. So to do so here, I'm going to click on new action. The first thing it asks me for is a summary and description of my operation. And I can actually import this from a sample. So let me go ahead and click import from sample. And the operation that I want is a get operation. And I can get the URL from my Azure function directly. copy that. Paste it in here. I'll do a little bit of massaging just for cleanliness. So we'll go here and we'll call it hours and capacity. And as soon as I hit import, it automatically knows that there are two input parameters, hours and capacity. And I can go in further and modify my hours and capacity and add in a description. So here I can say it's the amount of effort required to repair a turbine. And I can copy that same description into the summary as well. I can also set a default value. I can set whether it's required or whether it's optional. I can also set the visibility. Here, for the type, I can also call it an integer, say int32. And I'll explain why this is important when we use our Azure function. So I can do the same thing for my capacity as well. The next thing I want to do is I want to define the response. So I have this action. I now know how to call it. I know what my input parameters are. I now want to define what happens when this action is called. So what are the outputs that I get back? Now again, what I can do is I can actually import a response from a sample. So from my Azure function directly, I can just type in the body when I invoke that function. So here, we'll just go ahead and copy this. Put it in here. Now, as soon as it sees that, again, it knows that the outputs are message, revenue opportunity, and cost effect. So I can go in and modify these further and add in a description for each of these fields. So once I've defined my connector, I can go in and create it, and I can choose to share it with users in my organization. So for example, if I want that this custom connector is only available to a particular business unit within my organization, I can go in, choose that security group, and share this connector only with that business group. Okay, so we've talked about Power Apps, we've talked about Azure Functions. I now want to introduce you to Microsoft Flow, the last piece of the puzzle. And then we'll see how all of this comes together for the Four Canyon Energy demo. So the idea behind Microsoft Flow is it allows you to work less and do more. Flow helps non-developers, so essentially business users, to work smarter by providing you automated workflows for your favorite apps and services. So as an example, you can use Flow to get notifications. So whenever you get an email from your manager, for instance, you can send a push notification to your mobile device. Or, for example, a new list item gets added to a specific list in SharePoint, you can send yourself an email or a text message with details about that SharePoint list item. You can also use Flow to set up automated workflows to copy files. So for example, let's say on your phone you have Google Drive or OneDrive, and you take pictures of receipts. Well, when it's added to a specific folder, you can automatically take those images and put them into something like OneDrive for Business or SharePoint. You can also use Flow to collect data. So for instance, let's say you want to see how your business is doing on Twitter. What are people saying about you? You can set up a Flow that collects tweets, runs sentiment analysis on them, so it tries to detect whether it's positive or negative, puts it into a SQL database, and then you can set up Power BI dashboards to see and spot over trends, spot over time what people are saying about you. And you can use the same thing for a variety of services. So for example, you can also integrate with Discuss and create work items, for example, in Jira, based on what people are saying. And finally, Flow helps you streamline and automate approvals. And we just invested in our approval center, which came out a few months ago, which I showed you earlier. The idea is that based on your data in SharePoint, could be list items, could be documents, for your data in Dynamics CRM, in Twitter, in Dynamics AX, et cetera, no matter where your data is, you can use approvals to keep track of what's been assigned, who it's been assigned to, when it's assigned, and what people said. So Flow is based on two things, and I alluded to this a little earlier. There's two key notions. So the first one is a trigger. So it's a thing that kickstarts the workflow. Now there's three kinds of triggers. One is it can be done manually. It can be done based on a button press. It could also be a physical button. So we actually have integration with BTTN as well as Flick. Or it could be a button in Power Apps. It could be a button in SharePoint, etc. It could also, a Flow can also be run on a schedule. So you can run it every minute, every hour, every day, every month, etc. And most commonly, flow can be triggered based on an event in the cloud. So for example, when a list item is modified or when a new item is added, or in this case, when a new lead is added in Dynamics CRM. The other key notion about flow is an action. So it's what happens when the trigger condition is met. So in this case, when a new lead is added, it sends an email to the owner of that lead saying, please follow up with the email body. Don't forget to follow up with the lead. Here's the topic, and the last name is so-and-so. So topic and last name are what we call dynamic content or dynamic tokens. They're coming from my trigger. So whatever the trigger condition says, those will be followed through in my actions. Now, really the magic sauce behind Flow are our connectors. And we have over 150 out-of-the-box connectors, with new connectors being added every single week. And besides these out-of-box connectors, you can also create your own custom connectors, like we showed for 4Canon Energy. And you can use it really to connect to any REST endpoint. And using on-premise data gateways, you can also connect to your data that's on-premise. So there's really a wide variety of data. No matter where your data lives, you have connectivity to it. And this is really an ecosystem that's starting to grow. And in fact, the last 25 to 30 connectors that we've got have all come from companies directly. And we'll talk about that in detail later on in this deck. So how do users get started? For each of our services, we have almost half a dozen to a dozen templates. The idea behind a template is that it's a workflow that's ready to go. All you have to do is come in, give your credentials, maybe make a few tweaks, and the flow is ready to run. So you don't actually have to do the heavy lifting or thinking about what you need to do or how to do it, etc. A template is pretty much ready to go. You just need to go in and instantiate. So how are we different than our competitors, who in this presentation shall not be named? They who shall not be named. Flow allows you to automate not just your simple scenarios, but also allows you to target your more advanced scenarios using things like multiple steps, using branching conditions, setting up a schedule, having looping. You can also write your own little functions if necessary. So for example, if you want to get today's date, or if you want to do a string operation like get the index of a particular value, like a dash or an at symbol, you can do that. You can also get like the index of. You can do things like greater than, less than, et cetera. So it's really a tool that is targeted at business developers, but gives you the flexibility if you're, for example, more advanced and are a developer or in IT, it gives you that flexibility to create workflows that your business can depend on. Okay, so let's get back to our demo. So far, what we have is we have a Power Apps running on a phone. It is reading and writing list data to SharePoint. So this is where on the Power App, I can see all the turbines in my company, and I can also mark whether something needs a service or not. What I now want to do is I want to set up a workflow such that whenever there's a new service request, it checks whether it's cost effective using the Azure function we built. Well, it's cost-effective to send out a technician. If it is, sends an approval to a specific manager saying, hey, this is what the machine said. Do you think it's really cost-effective to send out somebody to do a repair? It then connects to another SharePoint list and finds out who's on call for this week and then sends them a text message saying, hey, this machine is down. We need you to go out and fix it. It's a lot of moving parts, and let's see how all of that works. So I'm back in Flow here. Let me just open up Flow. So I've created a flow here called 4Canon Energy. I'll explain to you what it does here. So it's connecting to my SharePoint list called Turbines, and it's checking for a condition. So again, it gets all the fields that were in my SharePoint list. So it has max output capacity. It has things like name, service required, etc. So it checks whether service required is equal to yes. If it is, it calls my Azure function, check cost effectiveness of repair. And notice that the description and the inputs and outputs map to what I'd said earlier when I was defining my custom connector. So in this case, it knows that there's two required fields, hours and capacity. It also gives the same description that I'd set in earlier. Now here, if I click on hours, because I'd set it as an integer and because I'd set it takes an int32, the outputs are also filtered to just show integers. So that's why you see things like estimated service hours, latitude, longitude, etc. So based on the hours and capacity, this Azure function that we'd set up returns back three properties: a cost to fix, a message, and a revenue opportunity. And notice again that your description matches whatever we put in a little earlier as we were defining our custom connector. So in this case, it checks for the message. It sees whether the message is yes or no. If it's equal to yes, it starts an approval. It sends it to Chris M, saying, hey, turbine repair required. Here's the service. Here's the turbine that needs repair. Here's the revenue opportunity and the cost to fix. Do you agree that a fix is required? And if you agree, then I'll find out who's on call and send them a text message. So here I'm getting today's date. I'm then using a filter query, so I can write OData filters on my SharePoint list. If I'm connecting to SQL, it's running an OData filter on SQL, etc. So I'm running a filter to see for today's week, get me the top person that's on call. So if there's multiple engineers on call, get me the first person in that list. And accordingly, I'm going to send them a text message using Twilio saying, hey, this particular turbine needs your attention. Here's the location, longitude and latitude, and here's what the supervisor said to do. So go ahead and hit update flow. Let's now try to invoke that Power App that we'd built earlier. So I'm going to try to project my phone here if possible. And there we go. We get a text message as well saying turbine one needs your attention. Here's the longitude and latitude. Supervisor comments. Let's go and fix it ASAP. So just like that, let me go back and switch to input one. So just like that, we've built a full stack for an application, starting with an app that takes in data, puts it into SharePoint, and I have a workflow that listens for those changes in my SharePoint list, calls an Azure function to do a complicated operation, and based on what the Azure function says, it kicks off an approval, which is again sent to my mobile phone as a push notification. If I approve or reject, it then calls SharePoint again, finds out who's on call, and sends them a text message. So we see that in detail here. So the thing I want to call out here is that notice how we're connecting to a variety of services. So we're not just restricted to data that lived in SharePoint. We're actually now connecting to approvals, and we're sending push notifications. We're connecting to Twilio and sending text messages. And that's really the power of this platform as a whole. You're not just restricted to one or two data sources. You have a wide variety of data sources at your disposal. And if you find something that doesn't work for you, you can build your own Azure function and get in the extensibility and connectivity that you need. Okay, so under the hood, how is Flow powered? So Flow is built on top of Logic Apps. It uses the same public APIs and standard runtime. And we actually use the same designer and editor as well. In fact, Logic Apps can do everything that Flow can do. However, Flow is geared towards the business user. And so we have a variety of experiences that simplify the process of automation for business users. So approvals is one example. We also have things like data loss prevention policies. We've also got custom connectors. Very soon, we'll also have the ability to do ALM on your flows and versioning, et cetera. So really, it's built on top of Logic Apps, which is more of a developer-facing service. And this is geared more towards your end users. As a general rule of thumb, when to use Flow versus Logic Apps. If you're working in Visual Studio and Azure, and you use source control, then you use Logic Apps. If you're working more in Excel, Access, and SharePoint, then you're more of a Flow user. Okay, so we've talked about Power Apps, we've talked about Azure Functions, we've also talked about Flow and Logic Apps. So how do you plug into this ecosystem as a developer? So the first thing is you can build a connector. So connectors are really just wrappers around web APIs that allow you to connect to Microsoft Flow, Power Apps, and Logic Apps. And as I mentioned earlier, we have over 150 different connectors. So the first step for you is building that custom connector yourself. What are the benefits of building a connector? So first and foremost, you're simplifying automation for your users. So if you're an ISV and you have certain users and they're doing something specific, you don't have to worry about setting up an automation engine. You get an automation for free. It also expands the number of services that you integrate with. So you don't have to worry about setting up automated emails or sending push notifications or text messages or anything like that. All of that is provided for you right out of the box. And lastly, it also helps you increase adoption. So because Flow and Power Apps are so well integrated into Office 365 and Dynamics 365, you instantly get the same user base that each of these products enjoys. And so we have over close to 700,000 with Flow and over 500,000 for Power Apps. So instantly, by being part of this ecosystem, your connector starts to get visibility with all of these customers. So how do you build a connector? So the first step is building a custom API or a custom connector, as I showed you today. Once you've done that, you validate and share it within your tenant. You make sure that it works for both Power Apps and Flow. All your operations look as expected. And then you submit it for certification. And if you follow this link here, https://aka.ms/api-connectors, you can read more about what it means to create a connector and deploy it for public use. There's two simple requirements. Have a service with a REST API, and make sure that it supports one of the authentication types that we provide out of the box. The other way that you can plug into the ecosystem is by embedding Flow. So Flow has an SDK, and you can expose an iframe, and this is how SharePoint does it, this is how Dynamics CRM does it, and we're working with more and more partners to get Flow integrated. So you can have an iframe, which shows you a series of templates. You can also show the designer, the workflow designer, directly in your application. You can log the user in, show their specific flows, and you can also run flows now directly from within your app. In fact, we've also got our approvals embedded as well. So if you wanted to view your approval requests, send approval requests, et cetera, you can do that directly from your application as well. You don't have to leave the context of where you're working from. So I want to round things off by talking a little bit about our roadmap. So for Flow, being in Azure and being part of the Cloud and Enterprise division, we move very quickly. So we've been shipping one feature after another since announcing general availability in November. We added the ability to do environments, which is a collection of your apps and resources. We added the admin center, where you can see all of your resources. If you're in IT and you want some sort of visibility into what are the flows and Power Apps that are being created, you can do that in the admin center. You can also set up data loss prevention policies to make sure that people aren't leaking data that's very sensitive. So you can set up policies that restrict data from moving from one connector to another. Recently, we also added the ability to collaborate on flows. So if I really like a flow and I want to share it with Michael, for instance, to get his data or to get his inputs, I can do that as well. We also added our modern approvals engine. So you can see all of the pending and sent requests. You can leave comments. You get notified by a push via email. And we've also added an integration in SharePoint document libraries. In terms of what's coming, we're working on a solution packaging and ALM story. We're also going to be in context. So we'll have a better integration with both SharePoint as well as Dynamics. So as I mentioned earlier with SharePoint, we'll have the ability to invoke a flow for a document or a list item and instantly send it for approval or instantly get feedback. So you won't even have to worry about going to Flow and creating it. All of it will be provided for you simply out of the box. And lastly, we'll be also working on our professional developer support. So we'll be adding the ability to take a flow and instantly migrate to a Logic App. We'll also add the ability to integrate with Azure Functions, more so out of the box. From a Power Apps perspective, one of the things that we've heard from a lot of our customers is that we want the apps to be more snappier and launch faster. And what you saw today was fairly quick, but we want to make it even quicker so that it feels like a native application. We're also investing in our Power Apps Heart SharePoint pillar. So we'll be making it easier for you to customize and embed your SPO forms directly from SharePoint. So you won't have to create this application, leave SharePoint, modify it, and see when it gets modified, and see those changes in SharePoint. You'll actually be able to get a form just like you do today when you're editing an item or creating an item directly in SharePoint. We're also building a deeper relationship with CDS, which is our common data service. We're also working on our Pro Developer extensibility with, again, connectivity to Azure Functions. And we're investing, like Flow, in our ALM and admin capabilities. So very soon, one of the things you'll be able to do from an admin perspective is you'll be able to see performance metrics on how your apps are performing, right? Where are they being used in? How many users are using them? Of the services used in your Power App, how long do each of the operations take? So thank you so much for being such a patient audience. I know we had a few technical difficulties, but thanks for your patience. And hopefully, this was something you guys found of value. And Michael, if I have time, I'd love to take questions.